I hope to share a series of 2 months' reflections on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and hope you'll enjoy the observations. This chapter is one of the most loved chapters in the New Testament, and virtually every biblical commentator has made some extended commentary on it. One only has to read the verses to see why it captures the interest of the academics, as well as those looking for guidance of how to live a Christian life. Paul begins by making it clear that a man may possess any spiritual gift, but unless it's accompanied by love, it's useless. He highlights individual gifts. First of all, tongues. A characteristic of heathen worship, which included the clanging of cymbals and baying of trumpets. It was much coveted in the worship of at least two of the Greek gods of Rome, which Christianity faced. Paul mentions prophecy, which he links to preaching. There is the kind of preaching when the preacher's aim is to save souls, and he does it with love. But another preacher will dangle people over the flames of hell, and it's not unknown for the preacher not to be displeased if people choose to opt to ignore his words despite their eventual eternal destiny being hell, rather than heeding the preacher's words. The preacher may have considerable academic knowledge, but to share his knowledge of God and the sacrifice of Jesus without doing it with love will result in the message counting for nothing. Engaging in charitable works without doing it with love is simply smug morality, doing it with pride, which of course knows no love. No matter what's done, if it is not underwritten and clothed in love, it's useless. Paul states, Christian love is characterized by the Greek word makrithumene, which means patience, being slow to anger, as God is with man. The Christian who experiences unnecessary, unkind treatment, yet is able to respond with patience and dignity without retaliating in kind, is the patient man who is extending love. A good example is Abraham Lincoln, a past president of the United States. It's said that Stanton, who Lincoln made his war minister because he was the best man for the job, treated Lincoln with contempt. It's said of one of Stanton's famed remarks was, "Why go to Africa to capture a gorilla when you can find one in the White House?" Yet Lincoln treated Stanton with absolute courtesy. When Lincoln was assassinated, Stanton went to view the dead president and through tears said, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen. The patience of love had conquered in the end." We read in Corinthians, love is kind. So much in Christianity can be good, but not necessarily kind. Philip II of Spain was an outwardly religious man, yet he founded the Spanish Inquisition, which resulted in the massacre of those who thought differently to him. So many people, even today, are not averse to being highly critical of others who refuse to share their views. Our reading tells us love must not envy. It's said that there are only two classes of people in the world: those who are millionaires and those who'd like to be. There are two kinds of envy: the one who covets the possessions of others, which can admittedly be very difficult to avoid, but the other is even worse. It's when a man begrudges what he doesn't have. He may not necessarily want what the other man has, he just doesn't want his fellow man to have it. Such a man is a mean-spirited person and not a pleasant person to meet. I'm sure you will have met those who like nothing better than boasting about what they can do or what they are. I once had the privilege of playing in what was accepted as being among the finest military bands. The director of music had perfect pitch and was a brilliant conductor, yet I never heard him boast of his remarkable gifts. What he did spoke louder than any words he might speak. Love is not full of its own importance. Someone who met William Carey, the notable Christian missionary, attempted to treat him with contempt and humiliate him. Knowing his background as a cobbler, the man loudly said, so others could hear him, "I hear, Mr. Carey, you once worked as a shoemaker." Carey answered, "No, your lordship, not a shoemaker, only a cobbler." The questioner who seeks to humiliate another simply results in his own reputation being seen for what it is, small-minded and jealous. What a contrast to the Christian who seeks to build up another and encourages others to be like Jesus. Love contains graciousness. I'm sure we've all met those who insist on being given their so-called rightful place. So often it can be at the expense of others who are more worthy than they are. Love rules out such an attitude. I remember a man in a church who had a senior role. Unfortunately, he was forever flying off the handle. When challenged about such behaviour, his standard reply was, "That's just who I am. Love me or loathe me." Sadly, so many chose the latter course of action, but at least they were able to practice patience and tolerance and displayed in return love, which could be seen as Christ-like. To their credit, they kept no diary of the man's ill temper and honoured the words in Corinthians, "Love does not store up memories of any wrong." How often a church is ruined by people delighting at the failings of others and who relish relaying ill reports and who willingly add to the ruination of reputations. We show love when we accept that our church is not a mausoleum for saints, it is a hospital for sinners. I look forward next month to sharing more thoughts on this incredible love chapter.